Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Phantasmal Necromantic Paranormal Podcast. I'm Tammy, along with my co-host, Brandy.
Hello.
And this week, we are going to do things a little bit differently. So if you guys have been listening to us over the past year or so, we usually just kind of jump right in and start telling some ghost stories or talking about aliens or Bigfoot stories. But we decided we're going to add a little bit something different to the beginning of our podcast, and we're going to do unusual paranormal trivia or things in the news. So this week, Brandy found an article about Ouija boards that is pretty interesting. So we thought we would start off with telling you guys a little bit of trivia about Ouija boards.
Yeah. Okay, so this article that I found, they had a lot of different things in the news that I thought were kind of interesting, but we picked this one out because we both have grown up liking Ouija boards, right?
Yeah, right. We're not playing with them now, but
no,
we have been known to do it in the past.
Right, definitely. Never again. So this article, it basically is talking about the history of Ouija board. So it says that more than 130 years of history is behind people using Ouija boards. And before they were coined Ouija boards, right, people use spirit board. They were invented with the letters and numbers and everything, and then the planchette. The guy's name was Elijah Bond, started the actual Ouija board. Okay, so, but later, a man named William Full took over the production and got the rights to a novelty company called Hasbro.
Yeah, so William Full will buy the rights from Elijah Bond, and then he will actually go on to sell those rights. William Full will go on to sell those rights to another toy company, and then eventually, so like right now, Hasbro has the patent, which they had bought from whatever, I'm sure it was like a defunct toy company. Mm-hmm. William Full has sold it to. Yeah, because like if you're reading some of this stuff, it does say that William Full is the inventor of the Ouija board, but that's just not true. Elijah Bond was the one who got the first patent for it.
So the article goes on to say that around 2 million Ouija boards were sold in 1967 alone. But beyond this sales figures, there's no public knowledge of to the exact numbers. And to complicate things further, countless other companies now produce and sell the boards using the generic term talking boards or spirit boards to avoid infringing on Hasbro's trademark. What were you telling me, Tammy, about the where they got the name Ouija board from?
Right,
so I had never heard this. This is crazy.
Right, so when you're thinking of these boards, you know, my thought is like, why Ouija? That is such a
wondered that.
And so when I looked it up, and they were talking about Elijah Bond being the one who had gotten the first patent, it says that the name Ouija actually came from his sister-in-law, Helen Peters. And it said that Helen, evidently she was one of the people that like use these spirit boards all the time. And it said that when Elijah was going to get the patent, that she was messing with the spirit board. And she asked the spirit board what it wanted to be called. And it spelled out Ouija to her. So that's how the Ouija board got its name. And then she goes on to ask the board, what does this mean? And the board spelled out, good luck. I was like, okay.
That is crazy. I've never heard that in all these years that I've been
I'm
intrigued by these things.
I sort of thought, when you say Ouija, I was like, okay, that must have been some weird, maybe voodoo kind of connotation.
Yeah, like it was from another language or something like that. Yeah. But
it says that the board itself was the one who said that's what it wanted to be called.
The article talks a lot about the numbers as far as how many Ouija boards have been sold, and they made like $50 million business, all the selling of the, I guess, the boards after Hasbro obtained it. But the article goes on to talk about the Ouija board may or may not have ever come into play to supernatural events. But I'm going to read some of this. So it says, but of course the boards date back much further than 1967, almost 80 years further back to 1891. We know the boards were popular even back in the early 1900s when their creator, William Full, was forced to build a new three-story factory to cope with demand. Although their popularity did dwindle before their 60s revival, still it's probably safe to assume that they sold at least another 5 million in the first 76 years. If we assume three people have used each one, that makes at least 75 million people who have used them over the years, which I guess that kind of puts things into perspective, because if you had one, especially if a family member had bought one back in the 60s, they may pass it down to their kids and then kids. So you've got numbers that could possibly triple there if you've...
Yeah. And I would say that's how I got mine, because my mom
had
so my mom had one from when she was, I don't know, I guess older, I don't know. But like, I always saw this thing in the closet growing up.
Uh-huh.
But then when we got older, one time, you know, I had friends over. My mom was like, here, you know, you should play with this, you know. Like, thanks, Mom. Appreciate that. God. But yeah.
Summon Satan.
Yeah. So my mom had this thing for, you know, eons that she had had when she was growing up, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And then me and my friends played it because we never bought one.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So there was two generations.
I know. I didn't know anybody in my family that had one. Like, but when I was about 12 or 13 going to slumber parties, that's when I first was introduced to Ouija boards, you know, and would play with them over there. So, of course, then I wanted one and I got one. When I was about 13, I had the board game from like Kmart or Walmart or whatever, you know. I don't think, you know, you always wonder when you're that young, you know, the friends at the summer parties, are they moving this thing around by themselves? And then in high school, my high school boyfriend at the time, we made one together, a homemade one. And that, I must say, is the worst mistake ever. Because he had an old piece of plywood, cut it into a square, and he could draw really well. So he drew everything on there for me. And it looked great, like the letters, the numbers. He drew the sun and moon. It was like perfect. And then I painted everything. And he even made the
planchette.
Of course, it didn't have the plastic in the circle, but he cut the circle out and put these little, like, I won't say legs because they were long glued on the bottom, but I glued red felt on those so it was slide around the board. And he like sealed the wood and the paint with like a clear coat. So you know, it was like fancy stuff. So, but yeah, every time we used that, it wouldn't ever answer any questions. It would just, the planchette with your hands on it, barely on it, it would just go around in circles really, really fast.
Really?
And that's all that it would ever do. But I was about 15, 16 then, and that's all it would ever do. But after that, we made that and was getting that reaction from it, I started hearing people whispering my name in my house. And at the time, I rode the bus in high school and got off at my grandmother's house. It would do it at grandma's house too. I'd be sitting in the back bedroom where she slept and watching the little color TV, like 13-inch color TV back there. I'd be watching Oprah or something like that, eating a snack that my grandma made me. And I would hear somebody whisper my name in my ear. And I turn around, there was nothing there, but it did it at my house mostly, but it was doing it at grandma's house too. But it eventually went away, and I kept that until I got married in my 20s, but my husband would not let me bring it in the house, and he burned it or something, because it was gone after that. I don't know what he did with it.
So you don't know how, like, you don't know how long you were kept hearing like your name being called?
I can't remember. I know that we had things happen at my mom and stepdad's house prior to that, but his parents had passed away. It wasn't in that house because that was a new house that mama and my stepdad bought when they got married. But that lot belonged to my stepdad's parents. So I don't know if they died in their home on that lot before or whatever. But there were, you know, we just had stuff happen. But it was around the same time frame it kept happening to me. But I know that I was like 15, 16. Because I was in high school. I had other like paranormal, so like ghost kind of stuff happen when I was about 14.
I wasn't using
the Ouija board because we hadn't made it yet at that point. I don't feel like it was a real long time. I just remember in my mind the instances when it happened. And I remember specifically the one at my grandmother's house. And I remember specifically being in the kitchen and washing dishes. And somebody whispered the boy, my boyfriend's name in my ear. Which it was weird, but
now did you really think it was from the Ouija board situation? Like, were you like, okay,
no, I don't think I did.
I just tried to use this Ouija board and now I'm hearing voices.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on. I remember telling my mom that like one day I was in the bathroom and I think I was washing my hands or I was in front of the mirror and I heard, it was like all these voices at one time. I don't know what that was. But at the time, yeah, it didn't dawn on me until later on in life, like more recently, that I thought, well, that happened after we were messing with the Ouija board and we never messed with it again. So it finally went away. But I don't know if all those voices that I heard that one day in the bathroom were like the ones from the Ouija board, because I was driving down the road one day, and I think that's when I was married too, so I was like in my 20s, and I don't know what happened, but it was like all of a sudden some people were having a conversation, like I could hear them talking and stuff, and it gave me like a panic attack, because for our listeners, I have anxiety, and so I get panic attacks, and it gave me one, because I didn't know what was going on. Yeah. It was like spontaneously out of the blue. It was
Oh my gosh. The very odd thing about the Ouija board, it says that it talked about in this article how there are not any deaths or injuries directly attributed to Ouija board use. And it says there are a handful of cases where the Ouija board is said to have led to a violent or disturbing haunting that resulted in someone's death. But they are literally, it says this is literally talking about less than 10 confirmed cases that were that severe. Now, to me, even one case that would have been attributed to the use of a Ouija board seems
I know, too much. And I want to know what these specific cases were, you know, the specific 10 cases. I want to know what those were.
So the one that gets me the most that they don't directly attribute this to the Ouija board, but it is like one of those, it says one such case is that of one of the original businessmen, which we're going to be talking about, William Fold, that is associated with the board. It says Fold died in 1927 after a fall from the roof of his new factory. And remember, we talked about him building this three-story factory specifically to manufacture Ouija boards.
Right.
And it says a factory he said his own Ouija board told him to build. And it says, of course, there's no way of knowing for sure whether his death was a result of using the board or just a freak accident. I say using the board. I say the Ouija board did it.
Yeah, I mean, it just so happened to be him specifically being one of the people that, whose death was related to the board. What are the odds of that?
I know. Pretty good, I'm thinking if you build a three-story building that is specifically just meant to produce Ouija boards. Right.
If you build a devil board, he will come and throw you off your own building.
Hey, you know what? That right there, why is that not a horror movie?
I know.
Like, come on, Hollywood, get on it.
Yeah.
The Ouija board. That's the name of your movie. And it is written for you right there. Like, go to higgypop.com. Wow. They have your movie right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just reading that, I was like, okay, so the guy who built the most Ouija boards died by falling off the Ouija board building.
Dang.
And the other part of that it didn't make me laugh, but I was like, when it said that's what the Ouija board told him to do.
I'm
like,
yeah.
Are we consulting the Ouija board for all of our business material?
Let's not. Yeah. Let's not do that ever.
Let's don't do that. All right. So we are going to go over a couple. We've gone on Reddit and we found a few ghost stories off of Reddit. So that's our next thing is going to be ghost stories. And Brandy, do you have our first ghost story for us?
This I get from an article that is 11 of the scariest ghost stories from Reddit. So I'm going to read this first one. Hopefully it's going to be pretty good. It says, it wasn't a little girl. I was camping with my husband and his family at a small remote lake in New Mexico. There were about 10 people in our group and another group of 6 people in the next campsite. It was nighttime and both groups were doing typical activities like making s'mores, having a few drinks, and telling stories when we all heard what sounded like a little girl yelling out for help. Neither group had children with them, but we were all positive we were hearing a little girl and decided to search the area we heard the noises coming from together. There was a field behind our campsite, and we all saw a very tall, pure white figure standing maybe 100 feet away from us in the field making the noises. We all agreed this thing looked about 6 feet tall, skinny, and white as can be. We made our way closer to investigate, but whatever it was that we saw started backing off as we got closer, and it disappeared into the trees. All night, we continued to hear a little girl calling for help as we tried to sleep.
Oh my gosh.
That is creepy.
I'm like, I wouldn't be able to stay.
No, I would have left
right there. It's like some stuff's going down. We don't need to be part of it. We do not need to witness this.
We cannot stay.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It'd be hard if you saw. I heard a little kid crying, not to be going and looking for the kid.
I know. Right? Yeah.
Like, be like, hey, where are you?
If you keep hearing it, because how do you know that wasn't just something evil trying to keep you from finding the actual kid that's crying?
Yeah. True.
But I would have not wanted to go any further either. Yeah.
Ooh, no. The next one I have off Reddit. It's Reddit Ghost Stories, and its user Illis01, I believe is how that would be pronounced. It's called Ghost in a Kimono. It says it's a true experience that happened to this family. It says, in this story, it took place in my household when my daughter was about 4 or 5 years old. It says, I used to put my daughter to bed by reading her story and sitting in her room until she went to sleep. This allowed me to spend much needed quality time with her after a long day at work. We started to notice that when we woke her up in the mornings to go to daycare, she would always complain of being tired. After a few weeks of her complaining of being tired and not wanting to go to school, we started to question her. I knew for a fact that she was going to sleep because many of the nights I had fallen asleep on her floor. And when I had awakened, she was sound asleep. After some prompting and questioning her, this is the story that she told us. It seems that very late in the evening, after we were all in bed asleep, she would be awakened by an old lady with a very colorful long dress that would tickle her feet and wake her up at night. My daughter explained that the lady never spoke, just smiled, gave her a couple of tickles on her feet, and sat and watched her until she fell back asleep. This occurrence happened for over a month, and although I made it a point to spend the night in her room a couple of times just to confirm or debunk her claims, this apparition still came in the quiet of the night after I had fallen asleep and continued the ritual, despite the fact that my large butt was laying on the floor. I never heard my daughter stir, and I never caught a glimpse of the old lady. At one point, my daughter happened to see a photo of a person wearing a colorful kimono, at which point she explained that the lady that had been visiting her wore a colorful dress just like that, even though she said it was not the same as the one in the picture. Now, my daughter is half Japanese, and at that point in her life, she had never worn or seen anyone in a kimono, but she was dead set that this was the dress that the old lady was wearing upon entering her room and interacting with her. After many discussions with my wife, we chalked it up to my wife's grandmother, who may have been doing the visitations. My wife had been close to her grandmother and was the first one to, at a very young age, to find her grandmother deceased in the bathtub. Needless to say, it was a traumatic experience for my wife, who again was so very close to her grandmother, prompting more of a description of the kindly old lady from my daughter. As to what the lady looked like, it was confirmed that it was indeed my wife's grandmother visiting the grandchild. We were overjoyed by this and yet broken up and wished we had the chance or ability to see her and express our love and thanks for looking over our daughter. However, as the month passed, with my daughter being awakened every night and being tired in the morning, it was with a heavy heart that I went to my daughter's room while everyone was out of the house and with the utmost respect and reverence asked my grandmother not to wake the baby anymore. She needed her rest for school and that we loved her and we were happy she wanted to visit and see her grandchild, but that she could no longer wake her up or let her see her. Truly, it was one of the hardest and heartfelt things that I have ever done, but I knew it was right. The next evening, my daughter had a sound sleep. When asked, she told us that the old lady had come to say goodbye and has never shown herself again. As I write this, I'm thankful that from the beyond the grave grandmother wanted to see and meet her granddaughter. And although we have never had another encounter with the grandmother in the kimono, I know that she is still out there watching over our family.
Oh, wow.
Sweet little.
Yeah, that is a good story.
Sweet little spooky story.
I know.
It's like grandma coming to visit.
I wish my great grandparents or grandparents would have come to see me. That would be pretty cool.
Like, in a good way.
Yeah, definitely.
I always felt like my mom kind of did that, like, because, you know, my mom passed away, like, right after my youngest was born.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, I always thought that, like, she came back to visit my oldest one, because my oldest one would have been her first grandchild.
Yeah.
And even when my mom was sick, my mom would fuss at me because, like, she wanted to help. You know, like, she wanted to help grandma.
Right.
Like, go get grandma's medicine and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And her mom fussed at me. She's like, she wants to help me. Let her help me.
Uh-huh.
And I did, you know, but she was still, like, very young.
Yeah.
But my oldest almost acts like she remembers, like, my mom. Like, you know, like, she just... Like, she has done things and made things, and, like, she wears a ring with my mom's name on it that she had made, especially for herself.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, that's just a little weird to me, you know, because she really shouldn't have any memory of my mom.
Yeah.
It's almost like she does, in some way or form, like, know her.
Yeah.
And so I always wondered, like, maybe when they were younger or something, mm-hmm. if something happened and she just didn't say anything.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, so. It could be. This one sounds good. This one is called The Unrest Stop.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
No rest stops for us.
I know. All right. It says, I was driving across country with my mom and sister when I was 16 and my sister was 20. It was late, but we were well rested, still, and alert. We were driving along an interstate and needed gas and a bathroom break, so we stopped at the only rest stop in 200 miles. Wow. There was a van full of teenagers on a road trip at the gas station, as well as a small gray car parked at the pump in front of us with two young men standing still outside of it. When we got there, everything felt wrong. We'd been on the road for days and seen many rest stops at night and had never been afraid until then. My mom and sister went inside and I stayed in the car. I heard the teenagers say they were creeped out and couldn't get the pump to work and they left in a hurry. I was watching the car in front of us and the two men had not moved at all, not an inch. They weren't talking, they weren't on phones, they were just standing there still as stone. My sister and mom came running back out to the car, and when they got in, the two men slowly turned to look at us while not moving or pivoting the rest of their bodies. And I swear, we all saw the same thing. We had eyes, they had eyes dark as pitch and empty, truly empty, not black, not reflecting any light at all, just void.
Oh, no.
We sped out of there and didn't stop until we were in the next city. The worst thing about the entire experience, we couldn't find the place on any map. We knew exactly which spot on the interstate to look, and we couldn't find it on Google Maps or any paper map we had. We even asked locals about the creepy gas station out on that stretch of road and got only confused looks. We've traveled on that interstate since, and there is no rest stop.
Oh, my gosh.
My jacket just made a noise that scared the crap out of me.
Something's behind me. Oh, my gosh. Oh, geez.
It's dark outside now, guys, so I'm spooking myself.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're talking about rest stops. So my mom had an experience at a rest stop. So my mom was originally from Arkansas and then married my dad and she moved to Kentucky. And mm-hmm. so it was about 10-12 hour drive for her to go back to her family.
Yeah.
But we would make this trek several times a year. And the thing about my mom was I always tell Brandy that my mom was like has gypsy blood because she never we never went on a vacation that was planned. Uh-huh. There would be like, you would get woken up about 2 o'clock in the morning. My mom would say, pack a bag, we're leaving. What? And it meant that we were going to see family. And it would just be like, my mom probably had gone to bed, thought about it, like, hey, I want to go see family. And there we'd be, pack a bag, gosh, and head out at 3 o'clock in the morning. So, and I think that kind of lays into the story that I'm about to tell, because my mom, and one of the reasons that she would do that is because when my brother and I were younger, she said it was because that way we would sleep while mm-hmm. she drove, and then she didn't have, you know, two kids bouncing around the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I kind of saw her point with that.
Right.
And so, but there was one time we were traveling and we were around the Memphis area. Mm-hmm. And she said, she's like, man, I just needed to use the bathroom so bad. I was just going to pull into, you know, the stop. And so she says she pulls in and she's like, there's one car in the whole parking lot. God. And she said, all she can think about is like, man, I really need to use the bathroom. But, you know, this is really creeping me out. There's only one car here. She didn't see any like attendants, or there's like no truck drivers or anything.
Yeah.
And so she said that she just got this overwhelming sense of get the heck out of here right now. Like mm-hmm. she said that she just couldn't take it. And so she just had to pull off.
Yeah.
So she ends up, you know, going down the road somewhere later on and using the bathroom, obviously. But when she got to her parents' house, there was like this all points bulletin thing. They had found a woman murdered in that particular rest stop.
Oh my gosh.
That morning. And she thinks that the car she saw belonged to that woman or whoever was murdering her.
Yeah.
And she thinks that because of the way she felt, she thinks that she would have either have walked in on the murder or have been become part of the murder.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she said that she had never had like a sense of urgent terror of get out of here wash over her like it did that night.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And so I was like, and I like it, it was, she told the story much better than I'm telling it, mm-hmm. but it was just like, oh my gosh, can you imagine
the next day
being like, there's all bones blue, there's been a woman murdered, we're looking for the murderer. And like, you're like, oh God, I was at that rest stop.
Yeah.
Like 6 hours ago.
Well, I tell you what, our gut tells us stuff all the time, you know, and your mom's have really been going off at that point.
Well, you know, I was reading something the other day about that, is like, you know, like when you get those hardcore gut feelings of you need to leave, or, you know, you have that voice in your head, it's like, you don't need to be here, mm-hmm. get out of here.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were talking about like what that is that just your guardian angel saying, you know, this is not for you.
Yeah. What exactly is that gut feeling exactly? Yeah. Is there like a guardian angel or a dead relative or something like that telling you that?
Like,
or is it just psychic intuition that your body has, or your energy or whatever, that just telling you no, no, no?
Right. Well, it's like, I have a friend who years ago we were talking about, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, I just got that little voice in my head that told me I didn't need to do this. And she, and bless her, you know, there's nothing against being religious. I'm not going after anybody for that. But she was religious to the point that she really thought that I had like demons. Like, she was like, you need to be careful about hearing voices because those are demons. That's literally what she told me.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. Like, that always made me laugh, because I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure demons would be like,
growling at you. Yeah, growling at you. And not trying to protect you.
Yeah, they definitely wouldn't be a protect. I wouldn't think that they would be protecting you. No. Unless they're saving you from some worse horror kind of thing. Yeah. But that would be terrifying. But on a side note, she's also the same friend that told me dinosaurs were buried by the devil.
Oh, no.
I shouldn't make fun of that.
But it's kind of hard not to.
She wouldn't let me go to the dinosaur museum. Still want to go see those dinosaurs. But yeah, so all right, guys, we just want to say we appreciate all you guys. We've been watching our stats, and it seems like we're getting more listeners, and we want to tell you that we appreciate every single one of you guys.
Yeah.
And
we keep up with that a lot, and we see all of our downloads all over the world, all over the US, and we love it. We love it.
Yeah, we're still amazed every week. We just talk about like, oh my gosh, did you see? Like, and here's the thing, we are not a big podcast, and we know that.
Yeah.
But the fact that when we started doing this, talking about this 2 years ago, we were like, oh, if we could just get 100 downloads.
I know. Like I didn't think, yeah. I didn't know that even 20 people were going to want to listen to us.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we've got a lot of downloads all over the place.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the minute we passed 100 downloads, we were like, to us, that was big. Like, I know that is not big in the scope of social networks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But for these two ladies, y'all mean the world to us. Every week, we just love you more and more.
Yes.
We hope you love us. So we are going to end on that note and say thank you for listening. And we will see you guys in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.